Hi, this is my favourite Elliott Smith song. This podcast is all about trying to keep Elliott Smith's legacy alive in our own very small way. And we do that by speaking to well-known fans about their favourite song of his. So hi, and thank you for joining us for this, our third episode of the season. Our guest today is John Vanderslice. John is a musician and producer and the owner of Tiny Telephone, a studio which initially began in the Mission District of San Francisco. Bands who've recorded there with John include the likes of Death Cab for Cutie, Okkervil River, The Mountain Goats, and many, many more. As a performer, John began his career as a more conventional singer-songwriter. However, in 2015, he closed Tiny Telephone's San Francisco studio and moved to LA, and has now turned his hand to electronic music production. In this interview, he tells us a bit more about why he made that move, how he first came across Elliott Smith's music when the engineer Larry Crane shared Either Or with him, and he also talks about his experience of seeing Elliott live as well. So here he is, here's John Vanderslice talking to Elizabeth Wood Stanley.
My name is John Vanderslice. I put out records and I own a recording studio in Oakland called Tiny Telephone.
So what is your favorite Elliott Smith song, or what Elliott Smith song would you like to talk about today?
I think that like the song to me that was interesting, the first record that I got was Either Or. And I think I got the record because my friend Larry Crane had been the editor of Tape Op, had worked on the record. And I think I connected with the song Say Yes.
I'm in love with the world through the eyes of a girl who's still around the morning after. We broke up a month ago and I grew up. I didn't know I'd be around the morning.
I mean, I like the record a lot. I think that like the way that the record is recorded kind of changed some things that I believed like should happen in a recording. Like I think that it's like permanently altered the way that I feel about how songs could be recorded. Like there's a certain murkiness and a certain texture, especially through all these like overlaid vocals and guitars that I still think that the effect of that record is incredibly powerful. But the song Say Yes was really important to me because it was kind of like it countered the narrative of a lot of let's say like kind of like fucked up indie singer-songwriter stuff I was listening to. It was like more it was like hopeful and desirous of like a better outcome, which I think is like lacking maybe in a lot of music that I'm drawn to, which tends to be very, very bleak and like very nihilistic. And it's hard. It's very, very difficult to write songs that have hope. It's very difficult to write about love. It's very difficult to write about like hoping for like some kind of like internal transformation. And we like art that's surprising, and like Elliott Smith is often surprising, and Say Yes is surprising.
It's always been wait and see, a happy day, and then you pay. Feel like shit the morning after, but now I feel changed around, and instead of falling down, I'm standing up the morning after. Situations get fucked up and turned around sooner or later.
What's surprising to you about Say Yes?
It is on some levels a very sentimental, sappy song. And I cannot tell you how hard it is to write that. Like, it's really hard to write a song like that. It is incredibly difficult. If you're framing, if you're not framing your work as sappy or commercial or approachable, it is extremely difficult to be vulnerable. And, you know, like if you think about the remote romanticism of like of the next record, right? EXO, like that Say Yes is still an outlier in many ways. Like it's easier just to write a song about what you will never get. You know, I'll never love you now. You know, like I'll never, you know, never know you now. I guess I'm gonna love you anyhow. Like that's easier. Even though it's and it feels great because we're all, you know, sad, sick, you know, venal humans, but like it's harder to write with hope and with like a real, again, like a real desire for internal transformation, where, you know, that's where films get interesting. Like how do characters change, and maybe they devolve, you know, but like you've got to be coming from somewhere and going to somewhere else. And this song, like maybe he made it, maybe he didn't, maybe this relationship, you know, provided some respite from like a really bad internal narrative.
There's sort of a vulnerable side that Elliot seems to touch upon in his songs, which, you know, I think you were touching upon in the sense like he does it in a way that it's not like sappy or it's not silly. Like there's something very genuine about it, about how he's putting the lyrics together and how he's communicating it.
Yeah, there's definitely no doubt that this is 100% autobiographical. Do you know what I mean? It feels like he woke up and like this person maybe like had to go somewhere left, and he sat down with his guitar, and it was like an incredibly, you know, accurate, you know, specific portrayal of what was going on in his head, which I don't think that's necessarily good or bad, but it's just that's the feeling that it feels very direct to me, you know.
Another fool, or an exception to the rule. You tell me the morning after.
Did you ever cross paths with Elliot Smith?
No, I saw him play at Bottom of the Hill in San Francisco on this tour, and it was a really bad show. It was like he was definitely not like. He shouldn't have been on stage, and he was definitely struggling. You know, he was definitely not, he wasn't in a physical space to be playing these complicated songs. These songs are hard to play, you know? And like, I think he left the show early. I can't remember who opened, but he got up late and then he played solo and he was seated. It was sold out. And then he got up early and left. And I just remember, I wasn't mad. I just felt bad for him. You know, I just was like, this isn't fun. Do you know what I mean? Like, and it was tough because I knew that I would never, I just thought my gut feeling was I won't see him again. You know, I won't see him live again, you know? So I never really got to experience. I wanted to connect with him live. You know, that's really important for me to, I don't really see that many shows now, but I used to see so many shows, you know? And I love the dice roll. You know, I love that, like, it's a real human in front of you on stage. And these are very vulnerable people, you know.
Crooked spin can't come to rest. I'm damaged bad at best. She'll decide what she wants. I'll probably be the last to know. No one says until it shows. See how it is. They want you or they don't. Say yes. I'm in love with the world through the eyes of a girl who's still around the morning after.
This is probably going to just come out weird, but I think of you like as an artist in the sense of like you're trying to communicate an idea, like you're trying to explore a concept, which, you know, a lot of music, doesn't go that far. Like there isn't, it doesn't feel like there's as much careful, you know, maybe consideration or thought of it as, you know, a whole piece, which is something I really enjoy about your music. I think, you know, when I think about Elliot Smith, I think about somebody who was really creative, like a really wonderful musician and songwriter. I don't think of his albums in the same way. They seem, you know, it seems like, you know, he was making songs since a teenager, and a lot of those songs like change or get finished later on.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he has a very different way of, or he had a very different way of working than you. It feels like there should be a question here somewhere.
No, I love it. I get, yeah, I mean, I think that, like, just to back up what you're saying, I think that there's all different types of music, and there's all different types of intention, right? It's like, I definitely, like, there is music that is, those Elliot Smith records feel like they're pure songwriting in a way that I think that I never could really do, or I could just do once in a while. So I think that as a songwriter, as an artist, you're always looking that, like, you know, you have, everyone has like a few pieces, you know what I mean? But it's hard. It's really hard to get like everything, you know? And like, I mean, I think that I definitely have tried to go on like a long journey. Like I've tried to change what I'm doing for sure. And I think that, like, someone said something interesting the other day. They said that because I'm really only making electronic music now, and I'm almost, I don't know how long it'll last, but I don't really care about singing right now. I just feel like I've 100% devalued lyrics and say, because I think that, like, lyrics to me started to feel like narcissism. I don't buy it. It's not that I'm just like, oh, I don't want to hear your story. I'm just like, this is fake. Do you know what I mean? Like, it feels like whatever punk reacted against, like Steely Dan or whatever, I don't know, you know, whatever the reaction was, I like feel like that kind of like violent reaction against like narratives. And there's this sick, and this is, I even have this with my own music. There's this sick voice when I hear like a confessional song, and I'm just like, I don't care. You know what I mean? Like, because I know the root of it. I know these people. Do you know what I mean? Like, I know them. They come from money. They come from entitlement. They come from like power. Mm-hmm. And so I think that if you really don't have anything, you don't complain. I mean, that's just how it is. If you're really poor, you don't talk about how poor you are.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, so something in me started switching. And again, even about my own music, I listened to an older record of mine. I'm like, what a fucking brat you were, man. like you don't have any right to say any of this stuff. Do you know what I mean? Now, we also do need narcissism to have art. You know, we also need narcissism just to stay upright and to like have a life, you know, like you need certain amounts of this stuff. And you certainly need to have a phony ass narrative about what your life is to not kill yourself. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying none of these things have value, but I started to detect a little bit too much bullshit in an indie rock song, and it's all of it. It's like Phoebe Bridgers. It's all of it. It's Jeff Mangum. It's all of it, and it's me. So I'm not like putting shade on anyone. I started getting in more and more into electronic music, and there's a lot of electronic artists that I like that you can't even find a photo of them. Like there is no, literally no chance you're ever going to find a photo of them. They have names that are maybe unmemorable, maybe unpronounceable. They don't have bios. They don't care. They don't do one sheets. They don't have publicists. They just put out music, and it's like, it's more punk than punk. You know, like punk also to me feels like, unless you're like Gigi Allen, it's like you're it's a put on. Do you know what I mean? It's like I just and like, but the electronic world was really changed my life because the in the more interesting, darker recesses of electronic music is some of the most radical and pure thinking about music. And it is de-narrativized, if that's a word, you know, music entirely. And it is taken out this victim aesthetic in entirely. And it's also it's mathematical, it's rigorous, and it's hard.
Well, I think it's interesting to hear you say these things. You know, going back, and I'll bring up one of your songs, going back to a song like Gruesome Details. There is a narrative there. It's not, you know, it's a narrative about something. It doesn't sound like a personal narrative, which is a is another thing that Elliott Smith does in a lot of his songs. There's a lot of narratives that aren't personal narratives, but you know, tell a story like that, which, you know, I mean, it feels genuine to me. Like I like the storytelling there.
Well, it's, I think what saves Gruesome Details is that it's funny. Like, I think that when I look back on my older songs, the ones that I really like are when they're funny. You know, and I think a lot of the my dar the darker lyrics, I just think it's all funny to me. You know, like there was, I was like, I find everything really funny. Do you know what I mean? Like, I find like all of this I find funny. You know, maybe not $8 billion contract to drill in the Alaskan wilderness, but like everything short of that I find funny, you know. And so I think that like the I think it's just the self-seriousness is what gets me, you know. But yeah, I well I, that makes me happy that you like Gruesome Details. I played that on tour once. So if there's a piano in a room, I'll play it.
And you know, it also, when I look at, you know, people you've worked with, and you know, I think about somebody like the Mountain Goats, you know, he makes those narratives, a lot of them are funny too.
The people that changed my life lyrically were all very funny, like Dan Behar with Destroyer, David Berman, and John Darnielle. If you just like comb through those lyrics, they're hilarious. Like all of them are, they're funny. That and that it was an antidote to me to like kind of sad boy stuff, you know, where they're shocking, they're surprising. You've got Darnielle, you know, he's a clerk at a 7-Eleven. He shoots someone in the face and he's like, I'd do it again, you know what I mean? Like, you tried to rob me, you know, and like, and Berman is funny. He's just, there's jokes. He has joke, like, you know, like Natural Bridge, there's like jokes that are in verses that are, it's just amazing. And like, and I don't know, I think that the Destroyer is still some of the funniest lyrics. He's still making records that to me are like they're co like comedic puzzles, and like they're really, he to me is like the most interesting lyricist of the past like 5 or 6 years outside of rap. He's the most interesting.
And then just kind of going back to Elliott Smith, it's kind of going against a lot of what you're saying in the sense, like, you know, I mean, whenever I listen to Elliott Smith songs, I do feel that they're very genuine, and they're not this group of musicians or that you're talking about, where you don't feel that authentic nature to it. You know, his narratives are, you know, feel very personal, whether they're real or not real. There's certainly aspects that must be real because they're, you know, too much pulling your heartstrings. So, you know, maybe there's, I mean, obviously you must be drawn to that in some respect, but you also, you know, maybe your interest in Elliott Smith is also musically, you know,
But
which we didn't really talk about at all. Just, you know, what your thoughts are on how he puts together songs, or the music elements in Say Yes. And
what I think what's interesting about, like, when you really love something, you can, it's like a friend or like a partner or a, you know, like you or a parent, you know, like when you really love someone, you can actually understand and completely accept the shortcomings in that person. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think that that's like actually transcendent love. Like, I'm a huge Kinks fan, and there's no way I wouldn't sit here and say, like, half of those records are insanely bad. Do you know what I mean? Like, I mean, I think that that's like, and I love myself, but I could eviscerate my catalog in like 10 minutes. You know what I mean? Like, I think that when you have the full measure of something, but also you can really defend it in a way. Do you know what I mean? This isn't about like devaluing something. It's really about like knowing, like, oh, you know, if you make records and you're kind of like, if your on target rate is like above 50%, you are God level. You know what I mean? Like, it is really, really hard to do that. If you make one good record, you are a fucking God. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, that's it. Like, it is so difficult. But when you really love something, and when you have this, like, you know, like, when I think about my mom, like my very, very complicated relationship with my mom, like, it's never all good and it's never all bad. People are very complicated and they change, you know, and they evolve. I think that, like, you know, there's been, I think that part of what I'm talking about of the rejection of narrative is that I wanted to kill myself for a long time. And so to not want to kill myself, I had to maybe extinguish these kind of like, ideas that I got when I was 12 years old about how an artist handles themselves and what kind of dialogue they have with themselves and the world. And I don't think that it's, I don't think there's anything wrong with that dialogue. I just think that if you want to stay alive, you know, that you might have to evolve. And I don't, you know, I think that, like, in some ways, I don't believe that I'm important enough to kill. Do you know what I mean? Like, I just, it's not that important. Do you know what I mean? Like, my, whatever my narrative is about my life is such, it's such fucking bullshit. You know what I mean? It's like top to bottom. I should just be like grazing in a field, or like, you know, I should be a lemur on the savannah picking fleas out of someone, you know, my brother or something, or.
Yeah.
So I, that's part of it, is just the human condition of just like, I mean, it's main character syndrome. It's just like, stop. You know what I mean? Like, you are nothing, zero. You know what I mean? Like, I'd rather like think about Ram Dass than these like sad boy singer songwriters, including myself, you know, and like, and I'm not a spiritualist, but like, so, but I think that like, there are always other considerations going on. Technically, I don't think, for me, that there's like a higher realm of technical songwriting than Elliott Smith. I really believe that. And I think that you could like really target XO. I think that like there was nothing. I mean, I like the Beatles. It's very like, all my friends hate the Beatles. It's like the pushback on the beat. It's like, you know, like they're of all of those bands, that's the band that's like the hardest to have a conversation about, at least in, with my friends, you know. But I think that like there's, you have to respect technical skill, you know. Same with like Harry Nilsson. Like, there are people that are just like technically, actually they're really, really good at, like, you know, at songwriting, quote unquote, like from the Tin Pan Alley tradition, you know, all the way through, you know, like 40s, 50s, 60s, like, you know, drawing in like, you know, Leader, and drawing in like folk writing, and like there's a way to write, there's a complicated way to write songs, you know. There's like, most music that I hear that I like, it's not, it doesn't structurally hold up at all. In fact, there's like tons of songs that I like, and I realize it's like, wow, there's like really just two sections in this song. There's no key changes. It's the most banal melody line. They're just really good at putting it all together. You know, there's no pre-chorus, there's no bridge. These aren't conditions for an interesting song, but like, it is interesting when someone can like, you know, have a structure that is like incredibly complicated, that has modulations and key changes and like, and like, you know, melody writing that is sound as like Schumann, you know, like that's fucking hard, you know, or like Brahms Lieder or Samuel Barber Lieder. It's like these are, this is difficult technical songwriting. And then it goes down like you're drinking a fucking root beer, you know what I mean? And like, you know, Northern Florida in the, in July, like, it's like, how is this possible? It's so hard to do that. I'm just telling you, I've spent my whole life trying to do that. And it's impossible. It's really hard. And EXO has every, like, every moment on EXO has that.
Watch you.
This is going to sound stupid, but like music is, this is just a reminder that like music is so incredibly beautiful and profound that this is like a daily reminder to always one, try to improve the kind of like listening environment that you have, whether it's like better speakers or you know, integrating like music in with different like workstations in your house. And then two, the encouragement for everyone to aggressively let in new art and music into your head and into your life and listen, Spotify's a piece of shit, but like if you have Spotify, fine tune your Discover Weekly and your, you know, follow artists that are the most interesting and kind of experimental and maybe promising for you, and listen to new releases every week and your Discovery Weekly every week. We do it every week. It's like, it's medicine sometimes. And sometimes the hit rate is very low, but you will all of a sudden you'll be listening to like, you know, the London band Sorry, which is a really interesting duo. They make really good music. Or you might, you know, start slipping into electronic music and taking MDMA every 3 months like me, and your life completely changes. Like, you know, you never know where you're going to end up. Or you might hear the new Danny Brown JPEG Mafia record, Scare in the Hose, which is a masterpiece, you know, and that came out two Fridays ago. So, you know, just trying to do the work to like listen to new music it honors all of the past music that we love too, you know.
So thanks very much to John Vanderslice for joining us on My Favorite Elliot Smith Song, and of course thanks to John also for sharing that timely reminder for everyone to keep seeking out new music. I thought it was nice to keep that bit in. And that's pretty much it for this week's episode. Just a reminder before I go that if you'd like to share any Elliot Smith related content with us, anything that you've seen or that you're working on, you can get in touch with us by DMing on Instagram. We're at My Fave E. Smith Song. And one thing we were sent recently was a new album from musicians Graciela Maria and Sneaky titled Dear Elliot, which they call a musical love letter of sorts and is a reimagining of several Elliot Smith songs. It's definitely worth checking out, and I've put a link to it in the episode notes. So thanks very much for listening to this episode. We'll be back very soon when our guest will be the musician Margaret Glaspie. To play us out, here's Belzer with 13, which was recorded at our recent tribute show in London. Thanks to Hayley Savage for sending this one in. Thank you. My Favourite Elliot Smith Song is produced by Rob Comber and Elizabeth Withstanley. You can find out more about the show at myfavouriteelliotsmithsong.com.